Now, 50 years ago today, African Americans and Latinos marched together in Milwaukee to protest discriminatory hiring practices. It's the first time both communities had joined forces to fight for a common cause. And our next guest says the march sparked years of activism among Latinos in Milwaukee and around Wisconsin. Activism that led to big gains, things like better working conditions, bilingual education in Milwaukee public schools, and higher Latino enrollment at the UW-Milwaukee. Jesse Garza is a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Jesse, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, you covered this 50th anniversary of the protest in depth. Can you set the stage for us? What was life like for Latinos in Milwaukee and on Wisconsin farms back in 1968?
Well, in 1968, I was going on 14 years old, so my knowledge of what life was like at the time is limited to that of a 14-year-old. But from what I could remember, you know, most of the kids in my neighborhood, we grew up poor. Our parents worked in the valley, in the tanneries, and in the meat packing plants. Those of us who came from two-parent homes or who were fortunate enough to have one or both parents employed. So I guess in a way, we weren't really aware of where we were at in terms of the social ladder. I can tell you that from what I've learned, you know, growing up, is that migrant farm workers were facing very harsh conditions at the time. Even though there were laws covering migrant farm labor on the books, they were not being enforced. And they were subject to barracks conditions. Jesus Salas told me that for a while his family stayed in a factory that had been converted from a cannabis production facility, because I guess cannabis was a material that was used during World War II, and that after the war, this facility was converted into a barracks. And that's where his and maybe a dozen other families might have been staying during one season in Wisconsin. There was also no enforcement of the minimum wage laws pertaining to migrant farm workers. There weren't any toilets in the field. Child labor laws were being ignored. Salas himself spent 10 years in some very strenuous stoop labor beginning at age 7. And housing and medical conditions were way less than ideal for those workers. So migrant farm workers in Wisconsin, many of whom, if not most, were either Mexican-Americans or Mexican immigrants, were really living under some very tough conditions.
And you write in your reporting, talking to people involved in Milwaukee protests in 1968, you know, while a lot of the nation was involved in protest and different communities were, it sounds like Latinos in Milwaukee were seen as not political, not active until these protests. What started to change that?
Well, I think what started to change was when people became aware of the migrant farm workers nationally. In the mid-1960s, Cesar Chavez, who would later go on to become, you know, a renowned figure among Latinos with respect to the civil rights of migrant farm workers, he began organizing the United Farm Workers in California, and they eventually launched a national boycott of table grapes. And they were fighting against the same conditions that were faced by migrant farm workers in Wisconsin, many of whom started having ties to family in the Milwaukee area. So when people like Lalo Valdez, who's mentioned in the story, and Jesus Salas, and Ernesto Chacon, when they became aware of the struggle of farm workers out in California and nationally, they began to relate that to the struggle of migrant farm workers in Wisconsin, thousands of whom were of Mexican descent and who would come up from Texas and other areas of the South in the mid-1960s to work in the cucumber fields, in the in the pepper productions, or in the food processing centers, the canneries, during the summer months. So it was when they became aware of that movement, that they connected it to issues faced by Latinos in Wisconsin at that time, mainly the plight of migrant farm workers.
Talking to Jesse Garza from the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel about his reporting on the 50th anniversary of pivotal protests in Latino communities in Milwaukee and then around the state. And this pivotal protest you write about, the Allen Bradley March in 1968 related to job discrimination, set the stage. Tell us how it happened, what came together.
Well, first of all, Valdez and Chacon and Salas met each other at the offices of Centro Hispano, what's more commonly known as the Spanish Center, which in 1968 was located on in the 500 block of West National Avenue. The director of the Spanish Center, a gentleman, a Catholic priest by the name of Father John Maurice, he had established Centro Hispano with a $6,000 grant from the Milwaukee Archdiocese. And it was set up primarily to focus on the needs of migrant farm workers and Latinos who were coming to Wisconsin and who needed help with either health services or food service, any type of assistance. So Father Maurice allowed Jesus Salas. Once Jesus became connected with the United Farm Workers, and if I could just back up for a second, while Salas was organizing farm workers in Wautoma, he reached out to Cesar Chavez and he asked if they could fly the banner of the United Farm Workers during a march to Madison that Salas had organized with a group that later became Obreros Unidos, or United Workers. They would later become the first certified migrant farm workers in the state of Wisconsin. He reached out to Chavez and he asked if he could fly the UFW banner during a march from Wautoma to Madison that demanded enforcement of existing migrant farm labor laws. Chavez not only granted his request, but he sent an organizer out to help Chavez in his efforts. In return for Chavez assisting in the national table grape boycott for the United Farm Workers. So after that, well, the march to Madison, you know, the way Salas puts it, it ended up in a lot of handshakes and promises of goodwill and enforcement. And it wasn't for years after that, after more protests demanding enforcement of these actions, that an actual division of migrant farm labor was established within the Wisconsin Department of Industry, Labor, and Human Relations. So when Chavez came to Milwaukee to organize the Great Boycott, he was allowed to set up in the offices of Centro Hispano, where earlier UMOS, United Migrant Opportunity Services, another grassroots organization that was run by a number of church groups, they had established themselves at Centro Hispano. So you have UMOS, whom Ernesto Chacon ended up working for when he came to Wisconsin to work on, he came to Wisconsin in 1959, but he didn't become involved with migrant farm workers issues until he began working for UMOS. So you have Chacon at Centro Hispano, you have Jesus Salas at Centro Hispano, and you have Avalaro Valdez, who at the time was a senior at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, and who was just, you know, getting his first taste of activism on campus with the anti-war protests at the time. He was a recreation aide or playground supervisor at the nearby Vio Elementary School playground, where he met a young community organizer from the Spanish Center named Hollis Stewart. Hollis recruited Valdez to work in one of the education programs at Centro Hispano, and Valdez was already interested in community organizing at the time, so he met Salas and Chacon at Centro Hispano. They became involved in organizing efforts. And one of the first issues they became organized around, or they targeted, was the discrimination at Allen Bradley.
And that's where we'll pick up the story in just a few moments. Jesse Garza is with us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about his reporting looking back at Latino activism in Milwaukee and around Wisconsin 50 years ago. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Were you there? Were you part of this organizing taking place in Milwaukee and in farming communities around the state in the 60s and 70s? What are your memories of it? Are you a Latino yourself? Have you participated in organizing efforts then or now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Jesse Garza. He's a reporter whose recent piece on the 50th anniversary of Latino protests in Milwaukee tells the story of a big change, a pivotal moment in Latino politics in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a memory to share from that time. Okay, Jesse, you set the stage. You laid out the players for us. Now take us to this pivotal march. What happened?
Well, Father Grappi and the NAACP Youth Council Commandos had just completed almost a year-long series of marches, open housing marches in Milwaukee, and they targeted Allen Bradley with a complaint that went to the Federal Equal Employment Opportunity Commission alleging discriminatory hiring. At the time, Allen Bradley had about 6,500 employees, about 50 of whom were black or Latino. I believe there was like 30 African-Americans and 14 Latinos working at the Allen Bradley plant at the time. So Grappi planned this protest march on Allen Bradley, and he approached some emerging activists at Centro Hispano. He was also a friend of Father John Maurice, so they knew each other. They actually grew up together in Milwaukee. So he, out of respect, he brought this idea to Father Maurice that they intended to march through what was largely a Latino neighborhood at the time, and also to ask to invite those emerging activists to participate, among them Valdez and Chacon and Salas. A meeting was held at Centro Hispano on, I believe it was August 11th, and the march was planned for the evening of the 13th.
And what was the response to this march as people from the Latino and African-American communities joined together to protest these allegations of job discrimination?
Well, a lot of Latinos in the neighborhood, or a lot of Latinos, you know, in general at the time, they were subject to a lot of the same inequities or mistreatment that black people faced in Milwaukee. Latinos, largely lived in an area in what's now called Walker's Point, and as kids, you know, even though, you know, we went to an elementary school that was largely Latino, but in high school, you know, the Latino kids had their own cliques. And though we generally got along with the Anglo kids, outside of school, you know, you were taking a chance if you ventured outside of the neighborhood of either being targeted with racial slurs or some kind of physical intimidation. So at least the kids in the neighborhood, you know, our sympathies leaned toward the commandos who faced a barrage of bricks and bottles and racial slurs during the open housing marches the year before. So the greeting was quite warm. Once they Grappi's group crossed the 6th Street Viaduct, there was a lot of handshakes and warm greetings and sort of like a united group, united for a common cause, more or less.
And what was the response from employers like Allen Bradley and from the leadership of the city of Milwaukee? Was this something that put the Latino protests here on the map for them?
Well, I'm not sure about city officials, but the Milwaukee Journal you know, much to their credit, they and the Milwaukee Sentinel, they covered those marches and the entire Allen Bradley issue extensively until a year later. Well, Allen Bradley denied that it had discriminated against anybody, despite the numbers at the time. And after a year, there was a federal ruling that found that Allen Bradley did not discriminate against African Americans, though its hiring practices did tend to leave out African Americans. So it was sort of a fuzzy ruling that didn't say anything about Latinos, but the bottom line was that they were found not guilty of job discrimination. And of course, you know, Allen Bradley was later bought by Rockwell International, which eventually split into two separate companies. And the plant down there is now Rockwell Automation. And it's a completely different company with a completely different outlook when it comes to a diverse workforce. But it wasn't as though the Allen Bradley officials leaned over backwards to accommodate those demands.
Talking to Jesse Garza from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about 50 years ago in Milwaukee and around the state, the rise of Latino protests in the state. Jesse, let's start to talk about the long-term impact of what started that day and with those farm protests as well. What kind of things started to change?
Well, like I mentioned before, subsequent marches to Madison, many of them led by people from United Migrant Opportunity Services, did result in the creation of the Migrant Farm Workers Division in the Department of Industry, Labor, and Human Relations. But at the same time, there were fewer migrant farm workers due to growers and processors moving to avoid union contracts after the Obreros Unidos Union became certified. So a lot of these people began coming to Milwaukee, and that led to a completely different change within UMOS. UMOS became more of a job training and employment program, even though at the time it was still focused on migrant farm workers. And of course, today it's a multi-state, you know, agencies that that provides employment and job training toward all low-income people. The same people who took part in this early activism, they later created the Latin American Union for Civil Rights, that became involved in other issues that were affecting Latinos at the time. One of the big issues was bilingual education, with a large number of Latinos in Milwaukee public schools either coming from Puerto Rico or from Mexico, and with limited English language skills. There was a movement by a lot of these early activists for the establishment of bilingual education programs in Milwaukee public schools. And that led to the creation of a bilingual, bicultural, citywide committee within Milwaukee Public Schools, and the establishment of a vast ESL program and bilingual education program in Milwaukee Public Schools. At the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Valdez, who was a senior there in 1968, stated that there were only a handful of Latino students among the, I'm going to guess there were at least maybe 35,000 students enrolled at UWM at the time. And so in 1970, the Latin American Union for Civil Rights, or LAUCR, became involved in organized a series of demonstrations that led to the takeover of the chancellor's office at UWM, and eventually the establishment of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Spanish-Speaking Outreach Institute, which today is the Roberto Hernandez Center, named after one of those early activists. Today, out of approximately 25,000 Latino students at UWM, about 10% or around 2,000, slightly more than 2,000 of those students are Latinos. And there is a movement by the university to establish themselves as a, I can't remember the exact term, but is a Hispanic serving learning institution or university. So to attain that, they'd have to hit a 25% enrollment. So not only is there more Latinos at UWM, but there's also an effort by the university to increase Latino enrollment. And I think more than anything else, from my conversations with the sources for this story, the protest at Allen Bradley awakened a consciousness among Latinos that led not only to direct action, but activism itself. Lupe Martinez, who is currently the president of United Migrant Opportunity Services, you know, he talks about an activism that not only takes place in the streets, but, you know, in the voting booth, in the boardrooms, within city government.
And that's a good place to leave it. Thanks to Jesse Garza, reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, with us to talk about the Allen Bradley Company protests in Milwaukee 50 years ago today that led to years of activism in the Latino community. You can follow his reporting in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.